Beloved Lord, say amen. Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Short passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We'll read verses 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning with verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? If you love the Lord, say amen. His word, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I'd like to preach tonight on the thought, the clarity of the Spirit's voice. The clarity of the Spirit's voice. I know when the Holy Ghost speaks and the Holy Ghost moves, He's going to exercise God's divine promises. I know that there is a balance in the Christian life between the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And I know that there can be no spiritual manifestation contrary to the Word of God. That's an impossibility, because the Holy Ghost is the author of the Scriptures, so He cannot contradict Himself. God cannot deny Himself. God cannot violate His attributes. And so the same thing with the Holy Ghost as well. And so any interpretation of Scripture would be the interpretation the Holy Ghost would give. And any manifestation of the Holy Ghost would be supported by the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost would sanction the manifestation of the act. And so we have a safety net here, where if there's a manifestation or a promise or something spoken from the Word of God, then we have a parameter in which we can evaluate that manifestation or that prophecy or anything else. Thank God for the infallible Word of God, and thank God for the Holy Ghost. And I want to mention four things to you before I get into what I want to say tonight. Every divine promise is built upon four pillars. Every divine promise is built on four pillars. P-I-L-L-A-R-S. Not pillows, but pillars. All right? The first pillar is God's justice or holiness, which will not suffer Him to deceive. God cannot deceive. Number two, God's grace or goodness, which will not suffer Him to forget. Number three, God's truth, which will not suffer Him to change. And number four, God's power, which makes Him able to accomplish. Any promise, any spiritual manifestation, anything we receive from the Word of the Lord, it's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost, has those four pillars as a support. And I'm glad for God's justice and holiness. What about you? I'm glad for God's grace and goodness. What about you? I'm glad for God's truth. What about you? And I'm glad for God's power. What about you? And so with that as a foundation, and how many knows the Christian life has foundation? How many knows this world has foundation? God created, and the psalmist asked the question, if the foundations be destroyed, where can the righteous stand? The world has a foundation, and our spiritual life has a foundation. And I appreciate the fact, and I was thinking as the youngest group up here sang, do they have a name? This young group up here, do they have a name? What is it called? The Angel Choir. Okay. I thought, when they demonstrated what they demonstrated tonight, I thought, you know, I'm going to exempt them from what I say, because they already got it. They were pointing fingers. They were bobbing and they were into it, right? I mean, they were moving and responded, and I appreciate that. But lest we get trapped with something that is what we call emotion, it's not the Spirit of God. Let's see what we have here tonight. I'm kind of excited about it. I mean, you may not be, but I am, because I'm kind of looking forward to what I'm going to say, or find out what I'm going to say as we go through this. But I appreciate the Holy Ghost, don't you? I appreciate the Spirit of God. And I know the voice of God, and I know you do too. And so many things are being stated today that is the voice of God or God's statement, and it's not supported by the Word of God. And if it's not supported by the Word of God, then it is not a spiritual manifestation. The first thing I want to point out to you concerning the clarity, because Apostle Paul has reached back in the Old Testament, he's referencing the two silver trumpets that are mentioned in Numbers chapter 10 that gave a distinct sound. And when they sounded those trumpets, by the blast of the trumpet, they knew whether it was called a holy convocation. They knew whether it was to prepare for war. Dependent on the sounding of the trumpet, the blast of the trumpet, those two silver trumpets directed the nation of Israel. And it would be bad to think you're going to a holy convocation when you're going to war. It would be bad to know that you were supposed to advance when you were retreating. And so they knew the sound of the trumpet. The man who played the trumpet knew how to play the trumpet. And the people were accustomed to being called by those trumpets, and they knew the sounding and the blasting of the trumpet. You and I know the sound of the Holy Ghost. You and I know the voice of the Spirit of God. And if we don't know it, then we're going to be confused in these days in which we live. The first thing I want to call to your attention is the Spirit speaks the mysteries of God, or the Spirit speaks spiritual revelations. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." This word mystery simply means spiritual revelation. It's a mystery that cannot be discovered, understood by human reasoning or human thinking. Men cannot rise to the level to understand the mysteries of the Spirit of God. It is by divine revelation. We can have a committee and we can study all we want to study, and we can never reach to the interpretation the Holy Ghost wants to give until we accept the fact that these mysteries are not carnally discerned. They are not figured out by human ingenuity or intellect. They are divine revelations from God. And I think that that as God speaks to us, now many think, well, something happens in a Pentecostal church and it's mysterious, it's a mystery, we don't know what's going on. Now, through my lifetime, there's been some things that happened that I didn't know what was going on. But one thing I did know, it wasn't the Holy Ghost. I did know that. And what about you? That's right, it was mysterious, all right. It is a mystery, but it wasn't a mystery of God. It was a mysterious manifestation of some kind. But I appreciate the fact that we can become acquainted with the voice of God and with the Spirit of God and know exactly when God is talking to us and know when God is dealing with us. And so it's amazing to me, as I mentioned this morning, that great events can take place in a life, and within just a few weeks, they're all forgotten and they're overwhelmed by what they see, or they're overwhelmed by emotion. May I say to you that some of the manifestations are emotional manifestations, not spiritual manifestations. When there's a spiritual manifestation, it is exhorting, it is comforting, it is magnifying, it is glorifying, and enhances the body of Christ. And so there are mysteries that none of us know. And I believe in divine revelation when God speaks it. And again, let me say, if there's any kind of a so-called manifestation of nature that is contrary to the Word of God, I take the Word of God. Absolutely. Although Paul said in Romans chapter 1 that God, through conscience and creation, has revealed himself to all men. So there's three avenues in which God reveals himself to man: conscience, creation, and Christ. Those three areas is how God's going to reveal himself. But if there ever is a contradiction between conscience, if there's ever a contradiction between creation and the Word of God, I take the Word of God. It is infallible. It is to me like our Supreme Court who renders a decision. We have to have some, every nation has to have a supreme authority. You have to have something that settles the matter and the issue, and I think it's the Word of God. I think the Word of God settles every issue and proves every manifestation, whether they be of God or not. This is not a mysterious walk. This is not a confusing life. We don't have to say, I don't know whether that was God or not. If you say we don't know whether it's God or not, perhaps we don't know the Word of God, or we don't don't know the voice of the Spirit of God. How many knows the Spirit of God will bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God? The Holy Ghost will reveal to us and manifest to us. And so first of all, the clarity of the Spirit's voice is that He reveals the mysteries of God. And I know and you know that many times the Holy Ghost is working in many ways His wonders to perform, and we think we have it all figured out. Now, I'm perhaps somewhat different than some, and some will say, you know, man, I just don't know what the Holy Ghost wants to do, and I'm afraid I'll be in a position where I won't know what to do, and all those kinds. I love it like that. I really like it like that. Love it like that when I don't know what to do, because I know I have to depend upon Him. How many's ever been in a position where you didn't know what to do? You didn't know what to say, but you knew you had to say something. You had to do something. I really like it like that, because I realize to do what God wants, I have to get the flesh out of the way, and I have to depend upon the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And how many knows it's the Holy Ghost that leads the church? It's the Holy Ghost that leads our life, and He doesn't need my input. He doesn't need my intellect. He simply needs for me to know His voice and to respond to the speaking of God. I don't think any person can sin without the Holy Ghost letting them know they're violating themselves. They may not know biblically, they may not be able to explain theologically, but that's the work of the Holy Ghost, to convict. And I don't think anybody sins without their conscience condemning them, without the Spirit of God speaking to them, and they in their conscience are condemned and know that it's wrong. And you can sear the conscience, you can override it, you can try to justify the action, but how many knows that God doesn't let any man sin, any man come up short, any woman sin or come up short without the Spirit of God speaking to their heart and convicting their conscience and letting them know that what they're saying, what they're doing, what they're about to do is contrary to His will for their life. He speaks mysteries. And it takes divine revelation. How many knows that's how we understand God? Because Christ descended, we did not ascend into the glory of God. God brought His glory to this earth. And we understand what the infinite has revealed to the finite. And I'm glad for the knowledge He has revealed. What about you? Second thing I want to point out is not only the Spirit speaks the mysteries of spiritual revelation, but the Spirit speaks of soul winning. In Acts 8:29, this is the story of Philip and the eunuch. You know the story well. But the Bible said, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot." And it was Philip who was led by the Spirit of God to reveal to the eunuch the understanding of the Scripture. And we know that the eunuch gave his life to Christ. He was reading Isaiah chapter 53, did not understand it, but it took someone full of the Holy Ghost to interpret the Word of God and reveal to the eunuch. And when the eunuch heard the revelation, he received the understanding, and he moved on what Philip had to say. So I like where it says, "The Spirit said unto Philip." Revelation 3:22 says, "He that hath an ear," this is stated to all seven churches of Asia, "he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." How many know that we're still in the church age and the Holy Ghost is still speaking to His people? Many aren't hearing, but He is still speaking. 1 Timothy 4:1 said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." In Acts 13:2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said." It is the Holy Ghost who is the director, we could say the chief operating officer, the CEO of the church, however we want to phrase it. But it is the Holy Ghost who is the watchman, who the Lord sent to direct the church, to reveal to the church the plan of God, and to speak to us what we need to do. Men will say, "I don't know what to do. I think there's a will of God for my life, but I don't know what to do. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost is the interpreter of Scripture. So for me to say I don't know the will of God, what to me in my personal life would be, I'm not reading the counsel of Scripture, or I'm not praying and seeking God, because it is God's will for me to know His will, because the prayer that He answers is the prayer prayed according to His will. So therefore, it's incumbent upon me to know the will of God, to know how to pray, to walk in the will of God, and it's the Holy Ghost that reveals the will of God. The church is not run by men. It's not run by committees. It's not run by organization. The Holy Ghost is directed by, the church is directed by the Holy Ghost. Well, I felt like, check the feeling and make sure it's the voice of God. The voice of God. How many has been in situations in your life where you heard a lot of noise, but then you heard the voice you wanted to hear? You heard the voice of God. You heard God speaking to your heart and speaking to your life. It's like Paul. Have we now, who were begun in the Spirit, justified in the flesh? You know what I think in a lot of places? I think the Holy Ghost is simply put on the back burner, because He's an exposer, and He reveals and He makes known. And so the Spirit of God speaks of soul winning. The Bible said the Spirit speaks of sound direction or preparation. Acts 21:11. And when He was come unto us, He took Paul's girdle. This speaks of Agabus. He took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth the girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now when Paul heard this prophecy, Paul did not change his direction. When Paul heard this prophecy, he was not afraid. He did not become fearful. This was simply preparation. The Holy Ghost letting Paul know that He knew where he was. He knew where he was going, and that He was going to guide him and direct him. So many through the years that I have had the privilege of working with always felt like they needed a personal word of prophecy. Somebody said, go here, they'd go there, go there, they'd go there, and so forth. How many knows the Holy Ghost does not lead out of the will of God? One day a man got up in service and said that the Holy Ghost had told him to stay home and pray from church. Now, do I have to get a witness here or not? How many knows it was emotion? It was his thought, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Holy Ghost couldn't speak to us to violate the Word of God when the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. And so when we know the Word of God and we hear the voice of God, there's a clarity into the Spirit's voice. Something's wrong in the church age if 30% of nominal Christians, only 30% believe in the infallibility of Scripture, only 30-some percent believe in a real devil, only 30-some believe in the true resurrection of Christ. Something's wrong somewhere. Somebody's not hearing the voice of God. Somebody's not hearing the proper interpretation of the Word of God. And I am thankful for the Spirit of God. I am thankful for the Holy Ghost. I am thankful for the manifestation of the Holy Ghost and the clear voice of God, who speaks the mysteries of God, who leads us into soul winning, and lets us know that He will direct our lives. He will direct our lives. And so Paul goes to Jerusalem with his face set like flint, like Christ, and did not turn or waver because of what was prophesied. It wasn't for Paul to change his mind. It was for Paul to prepare himself for that which was waiting him when he went to Jerusalem. A man visited my church one time. I'd never seen him before, and I've never seen him since that day. But I preached a message about God told me to tell you. And that man brought me that book, and there was a book that I didn't know. It was entitled, God Told Me to Tell You. That was a big thing a few decades ago, where God told me to tell you. Do you know when the prophet came to town, the people were very apprehensive. When the prophet came to town, they were very concerned of the message of the prophet, whether he was going to point at them and declare in them the judgment of God or whether it was the approval of God. How many knows today you could probably take what is so-called 99 out of 100 prophecies, and it's always prosperity and blessing and all the great things that we've been asking for and looking for. You know, and I know that God does bless us and God does strengthen us. The Holy Ghost does move. But declare the Spirit of God, I think, is preparing the church for the coming of the Lord. I think He's preparing us to get our hearts and our lives ready. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming very soon. And the Spirit of God is speaking to us like He did in the Old Testament to Hezekiah to set your house in order. Be ready for the hours you think not the Son of Man coming. And so the Spirit speaks to us to prepare us and to direct us. We should never get blindsided. We should never get blindsided. And I didn't see that coming. If we're listening to the voice of the Spirit of God. The Spirit speaks of sacred utterances. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. How many has ever been in a situation where you really didn't know how to pray? You know how to pray, but you know what I mean. You really didn't know how to handle this situation and what to pray. Now listen, when God speaks to you, when God uses somebody to speak to you, it doesn't leave you confused. The voice of God is not confusing. And sometimes wanting to help people, we can speak words of encouragement, but it doesn't necessarily say that the Holy Ghost said to say it. God is not the author of confusion. I've been in places, and you have too, where there are manifestations, but how many know as soon as the manifestation ended, there was an uneasiness? It just didn't bear witness. It just didn't strike the harmony of the chord of the soul. The moving of the Holy Ghost does not work that way. Well, but I know so-and-so, and I know situations. I don't know. All I'm telling you is when God moves and the Holy Ghost moves, though He even convicted me when I was lost, I knew He was right. I knew it was true. I knew I needed to pray. And down through my life when He spoke to me, He never left me confused. Is He speaking to me, or does this apply to me, or is this in my life? I knew, and probably you did too, when the Holy Ghost is speaking to your heart and to your life. You know, you can almost try to do it on past memory and not have an up-to-date experience. How many know that your voice changes over a period of time? Does it not? It changes over a period of time. You take a young man as he's growing up, when he's around Manasseh's age, somewhere along in there. How many knows his voice begins to change? Probably already changed it. His voice begins to change. And then as you get older, you've sang a long time, you've preached a long time, your voice sounds different as you get older. And then when they say when you get old, I don't know, I'll tell you when they get there, they say that when you get old, your voice has changed even more. But if we talk every day, I will not detect the change in your voice. But if I haven't talked to you in a long time, I'm going to say, you sick? What's wrong? You don't sound like you. Well, maybe it's been a long time since we talked. And how many, if we haven't heard the voice of God in a long time, and we don't have the daily fellowship that we need to have with Him when He speaks, sometimes we may say, well, Lord, is this You or not? Is this You speaking or not? There are situations when we don't know how to pray, and we just groan. Have you had that circumstance yet in your life? If your children are probably grown, then they're out from underneath your control. And as a man told me one time, when your children are little, they step on your toes. When they're grown, they step on your heart. And it's so true, and it's beyond your control. And situations where all you can do is groan. All you can do is moan. What words do I say? Oh, God, and your heart is broken. But how many knows the Bible says here, in those groanings and in those utterances that we feel are just groaning, the Holy Ghost is still making intercession. He is saying what my mind cannot conceivably speak. I can't think the thoughts. I can't reach to that level of intercession. I simply can't do it. But aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost knows and He can take those groanings, He can take the pain of your soul, He can take the most intense agony of your soul and intercede on our behalf and speak to God. How many knows that groans speak? How many know sometime when a person is hurting real bad, they don't have to recite the dictionary? You know by the groan that they're in trouble. You know by the groan that they have pain. The groanings speak. And how many knows it's the same way in the Spirit of God when we groan for our lost children and when we groan for situations that need God's divine intercession, and we can simply groan, and the Spirit of God can take that intensity and translate it to the God that we serve, and God will know exactly what we mean in our soul. There are times that my physical abilities and my physical attributes fail, but I'm also soul and spirit. And there's times that God works in the soul and the spirit of man, and our spirit can speak to God when even our mouth and our minds cannot articulate what we need to say to God, what we need to speak to God. I'm glad that at that point, the Holy Ghost is there to speak of sacred utterance. Paul was caught up into the third heaven, and he said he saw things that were unlawful to speak. He couldn't even reveal what it was. But I'm glad for the Holy Ghost. What about you? I'm glad that He'll reveal mysteries to us, and He wants to reveal to us. I'm glad that He always speaks to us about soul winning and about the direction for God in our lives, and these utterances that speak to all of our hearts and all of our lives, the pain and the sorrow. How many knows many times that groaning is activated at the point of death or at death when we stand there and we just are speechless, our hearts are broken, and we're in that situation. You've been there, I've been there. You will be there in the future where you're standing there and you don't know what to say. Have you been there beside one of your brothers or sisters, maybe in the flesh, or a brother and sister in the Lord, and you're standing there and you don't know what to say? You want to comfort them and you're just speechless, and they thank you so much for being there and being a great comfort to them, and you didn't say anything. Your presence and the presence of the Lord was a comforter. And I thank God that in times like that, no pastor has all the answers. No pastor has all the words. No preacher knows everything to say. But by being there and just saying, "Oh God," or just groaning with them, "Help us, Lord," is exactly what they need in that hour, because it's the Holy Ghost that is doing the work. Groanings and groanings and agonizing. Oh, I can remember some tremendous heartbreaks and just falling in the floor and just weeping, just crying, just sobbing. That's the best I could do. That's all I had. That's all I had. What about you? That's all I had. But how many know the Holy Ghost was there? And He was communicating. I couldn't even tell God what I needed. I was crushed with the situations that had transpired, and I could just groan. Probably you too. But I'm so glad that the Spirit's voice understands, and the Spirit speaks, and the Spirit's voice is clear. It is not confusing. How did it become so diluted? How, in this hour in which we live in, has the Holy Ghost become such an errand boy to people? He's no errand boy. He's not manipulated or told what to do. He's in control. His voice is clear. He speaks and thunders the will and the word of God. Oh, I love the Holy Ghost. What about you? I'm so glad. I'm so glad I heard it. I'm so glad I saw it when I was a boy. So glad I heard it. So glad as a teenager that I prayed through to the Holy Ghost. And I know you feel the same way. But in this day and hour in which we live in, He doesn't stutter. His voice is not uncertain, but it's clear. He speaks His word very clearly. And I'm glad for it. And I'm sure you are as well. The Bible also says that the Spirit speaks of surrendered hearts. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, and you move on. This is when Israel hardened their heart in the days of the leadership of Moses, and they were wanting to harden not their hearts, and they provoked to God. So it's the Spirit of God that wants us to keep a soft heart. It's the Spirit of God that wants us to keep a surrendered heart. It's the Holy Ghost that wants us to understand that when we hear His voice, harden not your heart. It is hard to reach somebody who has hardened their heart to the move of the Spirit of God. It is very difficult to speak to their hearts and their lives. Even some who knew God, even some who at one time preached the Word of God, have become so hardened to the voice of God. And the Bible warns about that and says, make sure that you surrender your heart to God and keep your heart surrendered to God. Oh, thank God He's a heart specialist. What about it? Is He not? Thank God for the men that are heart specialists that can help us. But I'm glad for God who is a heart specialist. And so you have to make sure. Has anybody in here, you have to raise your hand. Anybody here ever been hurt in your life? Anybody ever been hurt in the church? Anybody had something that wounded you in soul and spirit? How many know it's very easy to say, that'll never happen again. I'll never get close to anybody. I'm not going to let that happen again. And I understand, and I know you understand, but at the same time, when I'm making sure that that never happens again, I better be careful or I may be hardening my heart. Nobody's ever going to get that close to me again. Nobody's ever going to be that close to me. I'm not going to depend on anybody like that again anymore. I'm not going to trust anybody again. And on it goes. And if you're not very careful, you can harden your heart to the Spirit of God, because nobody's going to get in my inner circle. Nobody's going to touch my family like that again. Nobody's going to work me over like that again. I didn't deserve it. I don't intend on having it again. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to follow my own path, and I'm not going to let that happen again. If you're not very careful, I can tell you many times in situations I had to be careful myself, or I thought, well, you know what? That's just the way it is, and I'm not. But then I would feel the Holy Ghost convict me and say, you better be careful with that attitude. You better be careful with what you're thinking, because you just might be build a wall around your heart where the Holy Ghost can't even get in, where God can't even speak to your heart. I say, oh God, don't let it happen. Now, I'm not saying I want to lay down and be a doormat, let everybody run over top of me and get hurt every other week. But I learned this: once you get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and you become a mature Christian, you shouldn't be hurt every other week. Shouldn't have your feelings hurt every other week. That's exactly right, but some do. They live with their feelings hurt. They live offended. That's not what God wants. He wants us to surrender our hearts to Him and not build a wall where nobody will ever hurt me like that again. You're the loser. We'll lose if that's the case. Absolutely. This is easy to say and sometimes hard to do. But how many knows we need to be thick-skinned and tender-hearted? Anybody find that hard to do besides me with my hand raised? Not thin-skinned and hard-hearted. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. We can't afford to not be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. And since it hardened not your heart, it was a process. They did it to themselves. Harden not your heart. I didn't harden it. You hardened it. And things will be said, things will be done, but we have to make sure we keep our hearts tender before God. Also, the Spirit speaks of the seriousness of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Isaiah said, they'll call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. Light darkness and darkness light. Are we in that day? We are absolutely in that day. Notice in the last days there will be apostasy. It said some will depart from the faith. Not talking about those who were out, but those who were in, who departed from the faith and made shipwreck of the faith. And so in the last days, in the latter times, which would be, to me, the latter times or the last days of the last days, some are going to depart from the faith. If you think, and I don't want you to drift off in memory lane, but if you think there's probably somebody that you know that is not serving God today, is not in the house of God with you here in Savannah, Georgia, that once sat on a pew with you, or sat among the saints and worshiped the Lord, and they're gone. I can think of those in Ohio. The worst thing, and one of the worst things in all the world, let me tell you among many things, but here's what comes to my mind. One of the worst things in all the world to a pastor is to do a funeral and look in the face of somebody that you pastored that died lost. That's my bearing my soul to you. To look in the face of somebody that I prayed with, somebody I led to the Lord, somebody I prayed through the Holy Ghost, that I broke bread with and died lost. You talk about searching your conscience. You talk about searching your soul. You talk about agonizing for God. Was I aware? Did I see it? When a pastor loses a sheep, you don't know the pain and the agony that he goes through. You don't know. You don't know. You know how you feel with your children? It's how he feels about you and about your loved ones. It's agonizing. It keeps you up at night. Didn't I see it? Didn't I preach it right? Didn't I have the right spirit? On and on and on it goes. Apostasy is going to happen. It's in the Word of God. They'll depart from the faith. Not only that, but apathy. It says having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, folks can go through the motion. They can sit in church and hear the best of preaching, such as we hear all the time, and it not move them, not touch them, because their conscience is seared with a hot iron. The Lord's coming. This is a serious time. Or there's aversion. Not only apostasy and apathy, but there's aversion. The Bible said, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In this passage there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it talks about forbidding a marriage and so forth and so on. Have you run into those individuals? I have, where they said, marriage, your marriage license, it's just a piece of paper. Have you, all right, a piece of paper, millennials. How many more and more people are partners and whatever else you want to call each other without getting married because it's a piece of paper. They sold that goods. That was presented to me when I said, that's more than a piece of paper. What that paper represents is the covenant that you made and God honored. It's a covenant that you made before God in a congregation of people that God honors. That behind that paper is the glory of God. Behind that paper is the commandment of God. It's more than just a piece of paper. Behind that paper stands the institution of marriage and a holy God who calls it a holy matrimony. A piece of paper, maybe to you, your covenant is worth 2 cents. But if you believe what that paper represents, just like when we communion, what it represents, that paper represents a holy institution created by Almighty God. Just a piece of paper. It's what the paper represents, what's behind that paper. And that's exactly the way it is. Seducing spirits, cohabitating, partners, and all that. You don't hardly hear anybody call anybody husband and wife anymore. It's partners or significant other. Am I right or not? Oh God, the seriousness of the last days, the seriousness of the last days. And finally, the Spirit speaks of a sure reward. The Spirit speaks of a sure reward. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, this is Revelation 4:13, right. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. How many know it's going to all end? And if we're saved, it's going to end well. If we know the Lord is our personal Savior, it's going to end well. I mentioned 7 different areas where there's a clarity, the voice of the Spirit of God. There are many more, just enough, hopefully, to point out to you that we need to search the counsel of Scripture. God doesn't leave us confused. The Word of God says here that if the trumpet is uncertain, then how will we know to prepare for battle? And God doesn't leave us that way. The Holy Ghost doesn't leave us that way. He is very, very clear when He speaks. And so sometimes, for whatever reason it may be, something may be said, something may be done, and through the years you see it, you know, so forth. whatever the case may be, and I simply go with you, and I know when the Spirit of God, I know when the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to be confused about this. I know it wasn't God because I know the voice of God. I know it's when it bears witness of my spirit that I'm a child of God. What about you? And so that was hopefully somebody's attempt of a manifestation. But if you have been confused, don't find fault with a prophet. Don't find fault with the individual. Don't find fault with anybody. Just clear it up and realize that was a statement that was made. But don't be confused about it. Don't be confused about it. How many has ever had anybody prophesy to you? Okay. All right. She won't mind. Because in July the 3rd, it'll be 52 years. In our church, we grew up. There was a lady that prophesied to my wife. Told my wife, God told her to tell my wife to be. Not to marry me. You believe that? Don't marry him. Well, it's too late. She was too late. It didn't confuse us. We got married. Now, it saddens me to say that her life fell apart. Looks like God would have talked to her about her life. Don't you figure? It's tragic of what happened to her and her situation. And I didn't gloat over that. It broke my heart. I don't want anybody to have any pain. We didn't feel like God told her that. So you have a conflict, right? God does not move and bring us in a collision course. He bears witness with his will and his truth. So what do you do when you got some on one side saying this and you got others on the other side playing this and you're in the middle? Consensus? No. It's like science. Consensus of science believes in global warming. Science, a consensus. And it's almost in the church. We take a consensus. We poll the people. It doesn't matter about a poll. The Holy Ghost is not controlled by polls. We don't take a consensus on the Word of God. It's all inspired, is it not? It's all inspired or none inspired. It's the plenary verbal inspiration of Scripture. Every word is inspired or none of it's inspired. Because part of it's inspired, who knows what part's inspired? So how do we figure out which part is not inspired? It has to be all or none. Just like being saved. How many heard that? Well, how many knows that a baby's either born or unborn? How many knows you're either saved or lost? You either feel the Holy Ghost or you aren't filled with the Holy Ghost. Simple as that. Simple as that. It's clear. The voice is clear. But sometimes these things happen. And then we're torn. And sometimes confused. My advice to you would be, if those things have happened and others who wanted to lay hands and prophesy and all the rest of that. I don't want to get too much off of what I've had to say here tonight. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. What about you? And I don't play with that. I don't play with anointing. I don't play with that pretending to have something you don't have and speaking something. I don't play with that. I take that seriously. I'm sure you do too. You do too. The voice of God is clear. The voice of the Holy Ghost is clear. Doesn't mean that you're not going to make monumental decisions. It don't mean you pray about it and pray about it and pray about it. But when it comes to make that decision in your life, you got clarity because you heard the voice of God. And that voice will support the Scripture. It'll never lead you to make a decision contrary to the Word of God. It's another voice. There are a lot of voices in the land today. A lot of voices in the land today. So, if something like that's happened to you, that prophesied, don't get married, and we're still celebrating, we're still happy, I don't know where the person's at. Or prophesied, you're no preacher, you can't preach, or whatever the case may be, don't lose any sleep over it. God will bring it to pass if it's true. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to go too far with this because it's another message, but I simply want to say the voice of God is clear. And you pray about it. If something spoke to me, I pray about this, and you pray about it as well. I check the Word of God, and if it's not in the Word of God or I don't feel the witness in my soul, I let it go. and a man doing a bunch of prophecy one time, and it wouldn't come to pass. And I said, oh, wait a minute, now, hold it. I said, well, what you do if you prophesy don't come to pass? He said, well, just, you forget it. You go move on. I said, no. Not here. Not in this church. We can't do that. Because if it's, yeah, I say, and it's to be a prophetic utterance, and it don't come to pass, I said, first thing we're going to do is figure out why. What happened here? Simple as that. Are you with me or not? The voice of God is clear. How many glad you heard it? I'm not confused about salvation. I'm not confused about the Word of God. I'm not confused about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I don't think you are either. I just want to come tell you tonight, hold the line. Live what you know to live. We hear great preaching and instruction. Do we not? I support it. I'm behind it. I believe it's true. I'm holding to it. Some of you whiteheads who've now entered into the realm of glory, right? Yeah, that's a wonderful scripture, isn't it? Hold to it. Be an example. Be a light. Be a testimony. You earned it, right? Thank God for the elders. Thank God for the young men and young women that are coming on. It's a wonderful thing, is it not? I appreciate the Holy Ghost. And when something's said about the Holy Ghost or something is to be an imitation of the Holy Ghost, you don't have to look where Brother Ross is at. His back's up. You understand what I'm saying? My back's up. Like a cat was getting ready to... Oh, I love the Holy Ghost. I love the Holy Ghost. Will you stand? I've been at the radio station at times where there were men who said it sounded like a bunch of geese. Mocked it. Didn't bother me in the least. Others who tried to merchandise it and play with it. Sell it for a few hundred bucks. Didn't bother me in the least. How many know who you are? Right? We know who we are. We know who the Lord is. And we know what we got. Right? How many plan on being unshakable in this? Right. And so many of you are praying about very important things in your life. The voice is clear. The Spirit of God is clear. Just keep doing it. It'll bear witness. It'll bear witness. I don't need somebody flying through. We did not need anybody flying through Dayton, Ohio with all nine gifts dangling on his belt. I knew the voice of God. You know the voice of God. Just trying to say to you, we need to drive some stakes. This is happening all over the place. And people are departing. Church membership is declining. Thank God. It's not always like this everywhere. Right? Some of our Bible college students get it. It's not like this everywhere. How many appreciate it? Let's not be like Israel who forgot where they came from. Right? The clarity of the Spirit's voice. Clarity of the Spirit's voice. I've watched people through the years that I pastored make decisions telling me that it was God telling them. And they're lost today. What can you do? What can you do? It's clear. It's not confusing. It's not confusing. All right? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your goodness and grace, your love and mercy. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. Today, tonight, I thank you for this great privilege and honor. I thank you, Lord, for the voice of the Holy Ghost. The only approach I know is direct. And I pray, O God, that all of us who are aware of the moving of the Holy Ghost, that he speaks mysteries, he reveals, he guides us, he directs us, he comforts us, he touches us, he lifts our souls up. Oh God, help us to know that voice, depend on the Holy Ghost in the decisions that we make. And those, God, that are in the valley of decision and those who are praying for healing and understanding in their life, speak to them, whisper to them, let them know you're there, let them feel your presence, let them see the scripture that'll build their faith to believe, because all things are possible to them that believe. We ask in Jesus' name. Let's make our way to the altar.